That congressional visit to Cuba isn't the only trip U.S. lawmakers are making this week to the countries that the Bush administration refuses to talk with. Senator John Kerry is on a 9-day tour of the Middle East. He plans to stop in Syria. John Kerry and fellow Democrat Senator Bill Nelson, who visited the country earlier this week, hope to enlist Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's help in the war in Iraq.
Now, here in Washington, Donald Rumsfeld's time as Secretary of Defense comes to an end today. He has the second longest tenure for a defense chief in history, but it's not clear how history will judge him, although that judgment will have a lot to do with Iraq. NPR's Guy Raz has our report.
2 days after a Marine recovery vehicle pulled down the statue of Saddam Hussein in downtown Baghdad in April 2003, Donald Rumsfeld picked up the morning paper.
And I couldn't believe it. I read 8 headlines that talked about chaos, violence, unrest, and it just was henny penny. The sky is falling. I've never seen anything like it. And here is a country that's being liberated. Here,
what annoyed him that morning were news accounts of anarchy in Iraq's capital.
The images you are seeing on television, you are seeing over and over and over, and it's the same picture of some person walking out of some building with a vase. And you see it 20 times. And you think, my goodness, were there that many vases?
Now, on that day, April 11, 2003, someone in the Pentagon briefing room asked him why the looting wasn't being prevented. And Rumsfeld, without a blink, said,
stuff happens. And it's untidy, and freedom's untidy, and free people are free to make mistakes and commit crimes and do bad things. They're also free to live their lives and do wonderful things, and that's what's going to happen here.
It's not what happened there. Things, of course, got worse. Rumsfeld himself admits as much. And in his final months as secretary, members of Congress were calling for his head. Retired generals wanted him sacked, and a Gallup poll showed less than a third of the American public approved of his job performance. Yet Rumsfeld dismissed it all with characteristic bravado.
Do you bear any responsibility for what has gone wrong in Iraq, or is it all General Casey's fault?
Oh, this is a question that gets asked every time there's a press conference. You know, give me all your sevens. Tell us what you've done wrong. Why do we have to keep going through this? Of course I bear responsibility. My Lord, I'm Secretary of Defense. Write it down. Quote it. You can bank it.
A few months after Major General John Batiste retired from active duty, he went to Capitol Hill to spill the beans about his former boss.
As Secretary, Rumsfeld forbade military planners from developing plans for securing a post-war Iraq. At one point, he threatened to fire the next person who talked about the need for a post-war plan.
Now, Batiste isn't some disgruntled employee. He's the guy who commanded the Army's 1st Armored Division in Iraq from 2004 to 2005. It was a searing indictment for sure. Yet the legacy Rumsfeld leaves behind is not so simple. For many who worked for him, Rumsfeld
fundamentally changed the way the Pentagon operates.
This is Dov Zakheim. He served as the Pentagon comptroller under Rumsfeld. He credits his former boss with things like
changing the command structure. He brought in new weapon systems. He killed Cold War weapon systems. He changed business management. He changed the way the budget system works.
It was part of a process Rumsfeld called transformation.
And his passion in office wasn't to fight the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, but to reshape the military in this technocentric mode, if you will.
This is military historian and retired Major General Bob Scales.
If there's a Greek tragedy storyline in all this, is that the military that he saw in the future, this highly capable, light, small military that was capable of delivering great precision from great distances, suddenly was trumped by an enemy who approached warfare in an entirely different fashion.
The military Rumsfeld leaves behind faces incredible strain and soon massive budget shortfalls. All of this is in the public record. What's not is that for the past 3 years, every few days, far from the white-hot camera lights, Rumsfeld and his wife Joyce have quietly made their way to Walter Reed Medical Center. They go there to cheer up the injured troops back from the front. Guy Raz, NPR News, Washington.